DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Monsignor Essef is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by Pope St. John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, and sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
The Church does not celebrate many birthdays. It celebrates Jesus' birthday, Christmas, and it celebrates his conception, which is the Annunciation, March the 25th, when it was announced to Mary, and she was asked to be the Mother of God, and her reply was, "Be it done to me according to thy word," that at that time she conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the child Jesus was conceived in her womb. So March the 25th is known as the time from which the incarnation took place, and therefore the great celebration of Christmas is so such a rejoicing time. And in the middle of the darkness and gloom of winter, Christ is born in Bethlehem. And the conception of Mary is conceived on December 8th. So her conception is celebrated on December 8th and 9 months later. So between March and December would be 9 months, and between her conception in December and her birth, September 8th. So her celebration of her birthday is September 8th. Now, the Church believes in these celebrations because Jesus is our Savior, and he is going to bring grace into the whole world. But because of Jesus and the anticipation that he's going to save the world, he predestines, he pre-sanctifies his mother so that she will not receive the sin that came from Adam and Eve. So St. Joachim and St. Anne, Jesus' grandparents, were conceived in sin, and they were born in sin. So they don't have a birthday. Their time of sanctification was because of Jesus. All holiness came into the world because of Jesus, including Mary's. But it was in anticipation of Jesus, and Jesus taking his human flesh from the virgin who was without sin. And so we read in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, he's discussing there the doctrine of grace. We know that God makes all things work together for the good of those who have been called according to his decree. Those whom he foreknew, he predestined to share the image of his Son, that the Son might be the firstborn of many brothers. Those he predestined, he likewise called. Those he called, he also justified, and those he justified, he in turn glorified. So that Mary is not made holy of her own. Mary is made holy by the coming in time from her, the Savior of the world. And her conception without sin was anticipated by God so that she would have a flesh from which the Son of Man could take his flesh, which was without sin. And so Mary's grace, like all the graces that she has, came through and because of Jesus Christ. And so with the birthday then that she had, right from her conception, we celebrate that with deep faith, the Immaculate Conception, so that when she was growing within her mother, Saint Anne, those 9 months, she was without sin, and she was born without sin. Therefore, the devil never had any power over Mary. And that's why her Immaculate Conception is usually portrayed as the woman in Genesis who crushed the head of Satan. And so the beauty of this feast day of her birth is that she was conceived without sin, and now even in her intrauterine life, she was without sin and born without sin. The only other birthday that's celebrated by the church is Saint John. Although John was conceived in sin, he received his holiness from his encounter with Jesus. And this is a magnificent thing, especially as we teach the sanctity of life in the womb. It was Jesus in the womb of Mary who went to visit her cousin Elizabeth when Elizabeth said, "How is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? When your greeting reached my ear, child in my womb leapt for joy." So that in the presence of the Savior, both Elizabeth and her unborn child is being sanctified. And that happened because Mary was with Elizabeth for 3 months. She was already 6 months pregnant. And so we celebrate John's birthday, the birthday of John, on June the 24th. And he was born, and we celebrate his birthday because he was sanctified while in the womb through Christ. So that all sanctity, all holiness comes through Jesus Christ, including Mary's. And so what a wonderful day it is today as we celebrate the birthday of the Blessed Mother. This mother was taking her little child into church, and they were before the vigilite stand in the church, and on Mary's birthday she was lighting a candle. And then she said to her little girl, "Today is the Blessed Mother's birthday." And impromptu, the little child began to sing, "Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, Blessed Mother, happy birthday to you. Now let's blow out the candles." And she blew out all the vigil lights. Well, happy birthday to the Blessed Mother.
What a wonderful day. There are so many that have such a great love for the Blessed Mother, and yet there are so many that, not so much that they don't know her, but because of the experience maybe from that's not so good from their own mothers, they feel a distance toward Our Lady.
I would like to use the occasion to think about a couple of things with you, Chris. One would be, if our birthday is really not the day in which we were sanctified and made holy, I think it would be so important for each of us to know our baptism day, because that's the day that Christ was born into us. Jesus' birthday was really a great celebration because he is our Savior. Mary's birthday also is that we were when we came into the world, but because of them, because of Jesus, our coming into the world, and through him, Mary's coming into the world was joyful, and so is John's. But your and mine and everyone who is listening, our coming into the world was not the day in which we receive this new life. And so in the tradition of the true Catholic celebration, it was our baptism day that introduced us to the new and divine life. And so why not find out what day you were baptized? And that is a magnificent celebration. You see, because you were born in darkness, you were conceived in sin. So when you were born, you were still in that darkness. It was only your baptism that gave you this new life. As a Catholic Christian, that we take more seriously and more in attentively our baptism day as the day in which the divine life was initiated in our hearts. That is the day we became alive and united to Christ, and that's the day that we were saved. That's the day that we were receiving the divine life. And the ceremony, your ceremony when you were baptized, it really was the beginning of, you might now get a cake with the candle on it, but actually when you were baptized, that was the day that you received your candle, your baptism candle. And the significance of that in the ceremony, when the Godfather, there's a candle that's called the Christ candle, the Easter candle, that is in every parish. When you were baptized, your Godfather took a light from the Easter candle, which is Christ risen from the dead. Now you who were dead in sin have been given new life in Jesus Christ. You were baptized and purified and given this new life. You're now radiant and alive. You are the light of the world, united with Christ. And so the candle, which is the symbol of light, was taken from the Christ candle and given to you. The divine life was passed into you. And now you are united with him. And how I always gave a symbol of that to the one who was baptized and encouraged them to now keep it until they came to their very first communion. And as they would carry that candle to their first communion, that they kept that candle lit until now they're going to receive Jesus in Holy Communion. So the candle that you burn on your birthday is really the candle that you received on your true birthday, your baptism. The other thing that I would really like to encourage you as coming alive in Christ on Mary's birthday, that because of her son Jesus, you were given a name. That's the day you were given the name. The name of Jesus was given to Jesus at his circumcision. He was a little Jew. Because he was the Savior of the world, he was Jewish. And the sign of his being introduced into his covenant with God, the covenant that God had made with Abraham, was he was circumcised. And then he was given the name Jesus. And so the Jewish child, when God sent his son into the world, he was very careful about the name. And his name will be Jesus, which means Savior. And when a girl was given the name, it was given to her 4 days after. She didn't receive circumcision. So when Mary celebrates her birthday on September the 8th, this long-standing tradition of the girl receiving her name, we have Mary's celebration of her name day, the Holy Name of Mary, on September the 12th. When you give your child a name, or when you yourself receive a name, and the name you have received in your baptism It is the name by which God calls you. I have been called by name. By name I have called you. By name I will save you. By name you are mine. You are precious to me. It's by your name that God is calling you. And so when I receive the name on my baptism day, that's really a very powerful and significant moment when the priest says to the baby, John, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I was transformed into Jesus Christ at that time through the baptism. And Chris, is that the name you were baptized by?
Christine.
Christine, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I really believe that ponder the name, consider the name. It's a very important when you are given your name. Do you like your name? Do you relate it to the fact that you have been called by name? And this is the name that you've been called. In fact, sometimes if you don't like that particular name, when you're confirmed and you're older and you want to choose another name, you can. You can either choose the same one or you can choose another name. And so since I was born on the feast of St. Anthony, I chose to be John Anthony Essa. What a magnificent way by which I am called. And I have received this name from my birth. I think so much is around, and I think needs to be pondered and considered with regard to Mary's birthday. Mary's birthday brings up an awful lot of tradition, teaching, and significance of her name day, and also of her birthday.
How beautiful.
Yes.
Will you be doing anything special on her birthday?
Well,
have a cake?
What I'm going to do, actually, is I'm going to give a day of prayer. And there's going 125 people have signed up at our house of prayer, and we're going to celebrate her name day that day. And I'm going to give two talks. One on Mary, the model of prayer, and the other, Mary, the model of forgiveness. And so under those two titles, and then we'll hear confessions and celebrate Eucharist. It will be a very special day, and that will be a very wonderful day. If in your family you're considering of something to do, why not make a birthday cake for Mary? And why not even think about considering your awareness of your own candles, you know, your baptism candles, and maybe even putting one of those next to the cake and be a sign of your being the light of the world and how Mary has brought her light into the world, Jesus.
What a wonderful way to celebrate the day.
Yeah. And I think to connect it more fully, another thing beside when you were baptized, the priest, the godfather, gave the candle, and your parents or your family brought you in this magnificent white robe to signify the purity and the beauty that radiates through you. Mary, our mother, is most pure. The pure and immaculate virgin. You were just like her because of Jesus. You came and you were so filled with beauty and holiness in the white robe. But one of the things I think that is so little known is when queens and kings were crowned, and when we use the word crown, it's usually done, the crown is on the head, that the priest takes the oil of chrism, which is a sign of queenly and majestic beauty, and he puts a sign of the cross on the on the crown of the head, right over the head, and he claims you as Jesus Christ was priest, prophet, and king, so may you live so as to attain everlasting life. You actually, at the time you were baptized, were anointed. Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one. You are the anointed one. And Mary, because of her majesty and her queenly power, is the first one to radiate. She is the model of who you are. When you model yourself after your mother, Mary, hold her up before you, and you are like her. And so when you see Mary's crown and her queenship, she is the queen of heaven and earth. You are a prince and a princess in the realm of God and his majestic home, in the courts of the king. You are equally honored as a member of the family of God. If Mary is a daughter of God, so are you. You are a son of God, as Jesus is. You're united with the king, and she is his queen, and she is our mother. What a beautiful ceremony that was when you were baptized. That's when you came into the beauty and the realm of what Mary received at her conception and what we celebrate on her birthday. We celebrate her union with God. You also have that same union, and that began at your baptism. You are so beautiful through your baptism, through your confirmation, through your ordination, through your union with Jesus Christ. Mary's beauty is that she is clothed in Christ. Mary's beauty is that she is the daughter of God. Your beauty is equally as Mary's, although she is the first among us and our model, and gives us such a magnificent example.
Any final thoughts?
Mother of Christ, Mother of Christ, what shall I ask of thee? I do not sigh for the wealth of earth, nor for the joys that fade and flee. No, Mother of Christ, Mother of Christ, this will I ask of thee. The bliss untold, which thine arms enfold, the treasure upon thy knee. Mother of Christ, Mother of Christ, what shall I give to thee on your birthday? Of all that are dear or cherished here, none shall be as dear as he. Mother of Christ, Mother of Christ, this will I give to thee. Happy birthday, Mary.
Amen.
Amen.
Makes me want to go out and have the Eucharist, and then a birthday cake.
I love it. I really love it. How good.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the free Discerning Hearts app. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, which is to offer rock-solid and authentic spiritual formation freely to souls around the world. And if you feel us worthy, Consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef.